Hare Krishna.
Today, we will read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 11 and Text 6. Actually, I was praying 2 days back that I should get that combination, 11.11.11, but I didn't get it. So, this chapter is called as the Symptoms of Living Entities. And today, we will be discussing from text number 6.
Suparnavetau sadrishau sakayo. Yadrichayaitau kritanidau ca vrikshe. Ekasthayokadatipipalanam.
Om Ajnanatimirandasya
Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kalamayam Sadajitva Parantinam Vanchasal Pratarubhyascha Kripasit Gurubhyayavacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Jai Hari Krishna, Jai Sankhya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. The Kirtan went for a longer time, so we need to adjust the time sometimes, so I'll try and go a bit faster today. I wasn't prepared, I was prepared for 1 hour, but I'll try and catch up so that people are not delayed for prasadam. I'll do my best, promise you. So in this verse, there's a huge purport, but there's not much time to read, so I'll just talk about the essence of this purport. Here it is mentioned that there are two birds. Obviously, it's talking about the Atma and the Paramatma. So here it is mentioned that the word Balena indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied by his own internal potency. Whereas the Jiva, because it is coming in contact with the three modes of material nature, is never satisfied. The Jiva is always hankering for sense enjoyment. And in that hankering for sense enjoyment, the Jiva is likely to face frustration. Whereas the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always Atmaram. He is always the enjoyer. And the Jiva, though qualitatively one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is obviously not quantitatively one with the Lord. Which means we cannot become God, but we can develop the same characteristics as the Lord, which is the perfection of human form of life. So, in the last few verses, in fact, the difference between the Atma and the Paramatma has been consistently highlighted. And today's verse is no different. So, today we'll basically try and discuss what is this difference between the Atma and the Paramatma, in the sense, why does this difference basically arise, and how does the Jiva basically come to the point of oneness with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in terms of quality only. Not in terms of becoming God. Qualitative oneness, how does it come? So, the theme of today's discussion we can call as from illusion to enlightenment. That is the journey. Srila Prabhupada, I always struggle with how far this mic should be. I never get this equation right. Srila Prabhupada,
just right.
Is this correct? I need some assurance from someone. Srila Prabhupada said that for a devotee to come to, that for a conditioned soul to come to Krishna consciousness is extremely difficult. Obviously, because devotees are very rare. But he said more difficult than that is to remain in Krishna consciousness. And then he added, most difficult is to enjoy the process of Krishna consciousness. Because we can remain for many, many years trying to finish our rounds. But it takes time to start thinking that why only 16 rounds? Why not 32 rounds? Why not 64 rounds? So it takes time to enjoy the process of Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada said that the material world is like a dictionary for the spiritual soul, and the spiritual soul has to find the purpose of this life in this material world. What else do we have? We have to do whatever we have to do in this material world to go back to the spiritual world. There is no middleware or third layer which is there. So whatever is here, sadhana, we have to do here and then go back to the spiritual world. So Srila Prabhupada created ISKCON. The entire infrastructure of ISKCON was created so that the conditioned soul can gradually develop this oneness in characteristic and quality with the Paramatma or Lord Krishna. And the entire infrastructure is designed in such a way that we can always retain our focus in life and attain that particular goal. So once Devavrata Swami, in one of his lectures, he said that to get this focus, however, is not easy because we take Krishna consciousness for granted and we lose our seriousness after a few years in Krishna consciousness, and therefore we are never able to appreciate what Srila Prabhupada is continuing to give us today. Therefore, any conditioned soul, if we see most of us, I for myself struggle quite a lot with in Krishna consciousness, in terms of constantly trying to uplift myself from the lowest level of consciousness, at least to wherever I am today. Little bit, maybe some improvement is there, but still there is a long way to go. So we have to keep on motivating ourselves. But this journey is not very easy. It's not an easy journey. And typically, through this journey of towards attaining oneness in quality with regard to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the soul goes through 8 stages. So today we will talk about 8 stages which the soul, the conditioned soul, travels to from illusion to enlightenment. So it is mentioned that the first stage that the soul goes through is disaster. That's where all of us begin our Krishna consciousness from. Now all of us experience frustration. We have all experienced some kind of frustration in material life. Otherwise at 8:30 in the morning we will not be sitting in this temple. We will be somewhere else. Obviously, we have got beaten somewhere in our life, and therefore we have come here in search of some happiness. Because whatever plans that we made to enjoy in this material world have unfortunately not worked too well. So it is explained that the quality of the sun is to be effulgent. That's the very nature of the sun. Just like the nature of water is to quench thirst, the nature of sun is to be effulgent. The nature of the sun is that the sun is never subject to darkness, and also the sun cannot refuse light. It cannot refuse light. That is the nature of the sun. However, what happens is that the conditioned soul is like a firefly. With our minute spark, we try to create a splendor against the effulgence of the sun. Now that is not possible, because when it is daytime, Jugnu, it's called Jugnu, right, in Hindi? Mm-hmm. The firefly cannot, the spark of the firefly will never be noticed against the sun. Therefore, Lord Krishna knew that all these conditioned souls, they are like the firefly who want to show their own little spark. Therefore, he decided that we cannot, the spark of the conditioned soul, it will not be visible in a place which is full of effulgence. So therefore, he created a place full of darkness, because only in a dark area can the minute effulgence of the firefly be seen. And therefore we have come here, because we decided that we want to show off our whatever limited light that we emit. So we are, that's what is called as a conditioned soul. And we lost our qualitative oneness with the Lord because of this desire of ours. Now the conditioned soul typically has 4 desires. The first desire, the foremost desire, is the desire for the opposite sex, to enjoy sex life. The second desire is to have children from that sex life. The third desire is that now I have a wife and a child, now I need a 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom hall kitchen. Therefore, we go into the mortgage business and then we try to accumulate wealth. And then, if we are able to do all the above 3, then we need a pat on our back. So the fourth desire is to be glorified for all the above 3. So this is the nature of the conditioned soul, and therefore the power of speech has been given to us. With this power of speech, we glorify ourselves and we try to project ourselves everywhere, in our personal life, in our work life, everywhere. We are engaged in showing our little spark. But what happens is, our desires are invariably frustrated by the power of kala, or the power of time. Time frustrates all material achievements, all material desires that we have. And therefore, when the desires are frustrated, then one starts thinking, why is this disaster happening in my life? I thought of something, I did something, but then that is not giving me happiness. So that is the first stage of disaster. For example, some of the scientists who are involved today in a lot of big research work, they try to counter this desire by their scientific process, prowess. So, there was one scientist who was doing a research on black holes. Everyone knows what's a black hole in space, in astronomy. So, one of the devotees went and asked the scientist,
you are talking about this big theory about the black hole which nobody has seen, and you say that black hole, light cannot pass through, whatever goes through, everything is gobbled up within these black holes or whatever. What if after a few years, someone proves that your theory is bogus and wrong? So the scientist is replying, no, that means that science is progressing. So this is the basic fundamental principle of modern day science. So they tried to beat the disasters with their scientific prowess. And the devotee, actually he didn't say it, but he thought in his head that actually the black hole is not in the space, but the black hole is in the head of the scientist. Because inside this black hole, whatever preaching that we do in terms of putting some theism or belief in God inside that brain, everything is sucked inside, it never comes out. Therefore, till we understand the purpose behind this frustration and desire, we cannot come out of material conditioning. Once, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was visiting one university in the US, and there he met one professor. This professor was a proponent of the Darwin theory. Now all of us know what is Darwin theory. Life comes from monkey. Sorry. Human being comes from monkey. This is Darwin theory. So this professor was giving some big talks, right? And Maharaj was observing him. And then finally he was exhausted. And then he finished, he wound up and he sat with Maharaj. So Maharaj asked him, what is this that you are going on talking about? You know, man evolved from monkey. If man evolved from monkey, then why is it that some are still on the trees and some are, you know, inside the offices? So this devotee, this professor finally confessed. He confessed that, you know what, actually I don't believe what I'm saying. Then Maharaj said, what do you mean? You gave a big class a few minutes back in front of a big audience with suit and tie. And then why do you give this? Why do you do such a thing? And he said, it is my occupation. That's why I'm doing it. Then Maharaj asked him, okay, fine, but why are you publishing books then, more and more? Because this fellow was publishing a lot of books. He said, that is because this is my profession, to publish such books. And then when Maharaj said, then why are you arguing with me now about this? So he said, that is my entertainment. And then Maharaj asked him, what is your name? He said, my name is Professor Maybe. M-A-B-I-E. But we can take it as M-A-Y-B. Professor Maybe. So all his theory was maybe. So, now the question is, why does the conditioned soul struggle with this mundane intelligence to understand this creation? Why are we so much why is there so much trouble in understanding how this creation happened? So the example is given of a race. In the Olympics, you see a race, right? A racetrack where people are running and running and running. Inside the stadium only, they are not going anywhere outside the stadium. But they are running and running and running inside the stadium. So, for example, as usual, you know, I have a tendency of arriving late everywhere. So, even if I buy a ticket for an Olympic race, I will typically arrive late. Now, if I arrive late, after half an hour after the race has started, so I am going inside, I am sitting in my seat in the stadium, and then I am observing there that people are running. And then there are two people who are running. Neck to neck they are running. Neck to neck. And then there is a finishing line. There is a fellow with a flag there standing, you know, finishing line. So, both these fellows are running. And then both these fellows reach the finishing line. And what's happening? One fellow is saying, yes! Like this. He's showing all these things. And then the camera is photographing, world champion, and then he's photographed. The other fellow is still running. And then I'm wondering, what is this? Yeah? This is the finishing line. He's a mad fellow. Why is he running? Then I ask the person, why is that other fellow running? Because this fellow has won or that fellow has won, and he is not even excited, the other fellow, because he has also completed the race along with this guy. Why is he running? So he tells me that the other fellow is running the previous lap. He is actually last. So the initial perception that I had when I entered the stadium, because I entered halfway somewhere, I am not able to understand the context in which things have happened before I entered the stadium. So similarly, we all have entered this material world somewhere now in the human form of life. Therefore, we will never be able to understand the context of the creation right from the beginning. So what happens is, from our reference point, we are bewildered. Okay, maybe, no, I saw monkey and then I saw man. Some similarity is there. So therefore, maybe man came from monkey. So this is the problem. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met the Kurma Brahman in South India, the Kurma Brahman experienced frustration to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about material life. He said that misery of material existence is so tormenting that I want to give up everything and I want to travel with you. Kurma Brahman was absolutely frustrated. So even in our life, we see that sometimes we get so frustrated that our faith in material life gets a severe beating. Then we start inquiring into the higher goal of life, and then we come to the shelter of the infrastructure created by Srila Prabhupada. So once there was a practicing devotee who was also involved in some life membership scheme in Delhi. So he had come from a western country and he was in Delhi, and he was bewildered by the buses, the DTC buses in Delhi, because in India the traffic operates in pure Raganuga style. There are no rules and regulations. So he was completely bewildered by that. And then he went to Srila Prabhupada and said, "Srila Prabhupada, I am worried that, you know, in trying to serve I will die in these DTC buses one day, the way this bus driver is driving. So what will happen to me, Prabhupada? Will I go to the spiritual world?" he asked. Srila Prabhupada said, "I am not sure whether you will go to the spiritual world, but definitely, you know, if you serve sincerely, you will come back as a life member here. And you will not at least become a DTC bus conductor or driver." Srila Prabhupada answered him like that. So therefore, because of the austerities of Srila Prabhupada and his disciples, we have got the real import of our spiritual life and we have got some hope that we will go back to Godhead. But nevertheless, because we are conditioned souls, the first stage of learning is disaster in our lives. Now this stage of disaster leads us now to the second stage of doubt. Now why does this doubt arise from disaster? For example, if you drive in India you don't have Melways. So the address will be some, you know, 29 Kannamwar Nagar, you know, near the, you know, Sai Baba temple. Near Patli Gully or something. So therefore when you are driving to that place, you don't have any coordinates. So obviously, you know, but you still drive and you still reach that place. That is the beauty. You start driving and then you'll ask somebody, you know, "Are why, where is this place?" And you'll say, "Oh, okay, go straight and take right." Then after a few yards, you know that it is not correct. You go straight. And then you ask another person, "Where is this?" And you say, "Oh, left." Then you go left. And then you'll ask five people, and then finally you will have to take the average of all that and then But because of this constant uncertainty, you know, the analogy in the material world now is about the various acharyas, bhoga acharyas, who have written various interpretations of Bhagavad Gita. So when our life is faced with disaster, when we come in contact with all these bhoga acharyas, one will say go left, one will say go right, and we are completely confused. Or even when we take shelter of the so-called material authors, Deepak Chopra or, you know, whatever, all these supposed management gurus, or Dale Carnegie, who said how to stop, what is that, worrying and start living. He himself committed suicide after writing that. So when we take shelter of all these mundane philosophies, we get completely bewildered. They don't give us the solution to life. And our disaster, our journey towards disaster continues as it is. And then what happens? We come to Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. Right? And then this disaster leads us now to the second stage of doubt because of so many philosophies. And that doubt brings us to the ISKCON temple. Now, the issue about doubt is whether all this propaganda of this material world, whether all these management gurus and these so-called psychologists and psychiatrists, whether whatever solutions that they offer us, whether actually it will bring us bliss and happiness is what our question is. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, it is mentioned that by discovering the faultiness of his desiring to lord it over material nature, and by therefore giving it up, the living entity becomes independent and stands in his own glory. So therefore, it is a good habit to find faults in the material world. Okay. Only by discovering the faults will we understand the true glory of the spiritual world and the nature of the soul. And therefore, we will now try to understand that we are not the controller, but we are the controlled. When we try to, you know, gradually find faults, when we get these doubts about the material world, about sense gratification, then we come to that point eventually. But some of us don't have any doubts about the material world. We are very happy with this material world. And we just cannot understand why people are saying, you know, this material world is miserable. So one day, one very beautiful lady, she went to Srila Prabhupada. Apparently she was an actress or something like that. She went and sat in front of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was giving a lecture that the material world is very bad. Okay. And then after the lecture, she went to Srila Prabhupada and asked, Srila Prabhupada, you have been saying that, you know, Krishna is so beautiful, then why material creation is not so beautiful? So Prabhupada thought for a moment, and then Prabhupada told her, you are so beautiful, but your stool is not very beautiful. So this was, she was completely shocked, you know, she didn't expect that Srila Prabhupada would reply. You can just imagine her ego, because she's coming from so such a beautiful lady. So Srila Prabhupada asked the question, why your stool is so beautiful? And then she was just shocked, but something, you know, happened in her mind, and then she left thinking about it. And then Srila Prabhupada then looked at his disciples after she left and said, old men and children can get away with anything. But you all don't try this kind of thing. So after frustration, one comes to the point of doubting, the stage of doubt, the second stage. We doubt because the price for sense gratification in this material world is too high. For example, if we give a rasgulla to somebody, and then someone asks how much is a rasgulla, then you say 1.5 lakh rupees. Obviously nobody is going to buy that rasgulla. They like rasgulla, the temptation is there, but the price is simply too high. So in the material world, gradually we realize that the price that we pay to get material enjoyment is simply too much, and we just cannot bear that price. So we get doubt. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, the activities that we do to enjoy the material world, there is a very interesting verse which describes the activities. It says, Neha yat karma dharmaya, na viragaya kalpate, na tirtha pada sevaya, jivanapi mrittau hi sama. It means that whatever activities that we do, if such activities do not elevate us to religious life, and if the ritualistic performance which we do as a part of religion, if it does not lead us automatically to renunciation, and if we are renounced by chance, and such renunciation does not automatically lead to devotional service, then such a person is considered to be dead even when he is living. Which means our activity should lead us to religion. Our religion should lead us to renunciation, and our renunciation should lead us to devotional life. And if this sequence is not happening in our life, then there is something wrong. And our body is like a dead body. When this is not happening, therefore, the stage of doubt comes. For example, we have been worshipping demigods, but still we didn't go anywhere in life, right, with demigod worship. Therefore, that doubt comes. Am I in the right track? Is there something else higher than this? That is the second stage. Now what happens is, sometimes our mind, you know, does not accept. Sometimes because of our previous conditioning, our mind is not able to accept the instruction of Srila Prabhupada as it is. Because, you know, we just cannot relate to what Srila Prabhupada is talking, especially in the initial stages of devotional life. So once what happened was, Srila Prabhupada was lecturing, and there were a lot of hippies sitting there in the class. And these hippies were high on LSD. And Srila Prabhupada was talking, spiritual world is a beautiful place, the enjoyment there, you cannot fathom, and whatever, whatever. So these hippies were not able to understand. So one hippie got up and said, Srila Prabhupada, what do you mean spiritual world is like Vaikuntha? You are keeping, going on saying Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha, blissful place, no anxiety. Can you please describe to me what is this Vaikuntha? And Srila Prabhupada told him, after a thought, Vaikuntha is like an ocean of LSD. Because the person was high on LSD. There is no other way that he can explain the bliss of Vaikuntha except in his own language. So therefore, sometimes to break the doubt of devotees, we may have to come down to their platform and give the philosophy. Directly we cannot, it's very difficult for somebody to get convinced about the spiritual world in a different context. Just like, for example, if somebody's leg is broken, we cannot tell him, okay, come to, you know, kirtan and let's dance in the morning kirtan. Okay, he'll say that my leg has just now, you know, come from 45 degree to 60 degree. So where is the question of, you know, coming and dancing in the kirtan? So, you know, so gradually we'll have to take the person, make him walk first, and then bring him to the kirtan platform. So when we see that in our fractured condition of our material life, when we see that, and we cannot relate to the success formula given by the materialists, then we have only one option, which is to put faith in the scriptures and to clear our doubt. Now, when we put our faith in the scriptures, we find that the scriptures are so wonderful and so clear in whatever in the way that they describe the purpose of life and our suffering, that it leads to the third stage in our mind of desire. So the first stage was disaster. The second stage was doubt. And the third stage is desire. So desire means to know what is truth and what is reality. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very interesting verse which mentions Prasangam ajaram patam atmana kavayo viduhu sa eva sadhusho krito moksha dvaram apavritam. It means that we can never nullify our desires. Desires are going to be there, but what we can do is we can dovetail our attachment and desire unto the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, and we must seek their association. Now, how is this desire cultivated in devotional life? We get quite a lot of learning from the Brahma Vimoga Lila. All of you know Brahma Vimoga Lila, where the cows were hidden by Lord Brahma. And then eventually at the end of the Leela, what happens is Lord Brahma sees thousands and thousands of Vishnus. And each of the Vishnu has got a smiling face. So it is mentioned in those purports that the Lord, through his glance, Krishna creates spiritual desire within our heart. So the third stage of desire, where does it come from? It comes from the glance of Sri Sri Radha Vallabha. So when we come to the temple and we look into his eyes, many of you can try that now. Some of you I see are already doing that. Look into his eyes and gradually we will get spiritual desire. And it is mentioned, through the eyes the Lord creates the desire, and through his smile the Lord maintains that desire. So many times, you know, I have a very hard day at work. And it's somewhere in the midst of the week. So you can't even see the weekend. Typically, you know, Wednesday or something like that. Horrible day. Because 2 days have passed, no sign of weekend, and Wednesday is now. So if you come to the temple on such an evening, after a horrible day, and then you just come inside the temple, you actually feel that you are in the spiritual world. Otherwise, you know, on a Saturday morning, you don't feel that you are in the spiritual world. Because, you know, you are not so much miserable on a Saturday. But when you are really miserable, you come inside, then you will feel. So when you look at the Lord, the desire comes, and when he smiles, then you get hope. Okay, yes, he will take care of me. So it's important to come to the temple regularly and seek the benediction of Lord Krishna through his glance. And the Lord, through his glance, he assures us, yoga kshemam vahamyaham, that don't worry, I'll maintain what you have and I'll give you what you don't have. The Lord gives us the assurance. So, but the thing is, this desire is very tricky. On one hand, we come to the temple, we see the Lord, we get the spiritual desire, then we go out of the temple, then we are going somewhere, you know, to look for a house or look for some furniture or to go to, you know, what is that shop? Myers or somewhere. And then we go there after some time and then we forget the Lord smiles, you know, after that. After that, we only see the receptionist at Myers smiling at us. And then he is showing us all these expensive furniture and we completely forget about, you know, whatever happened in the temple. Okay. So therefore, how then can we maintain this desire? So Srila Prabhupada said, the process of Krishna consciousness and maintaining this desire is very simple. It's very simple. All we have to do is come to the temple in the morning, chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regulative principles, eat prasadam and dance in front of the deity. Actually, this is a very simple formula. But what happens? People think that no, God realization has to be something very complicated. It cannot be so simple. What do you mean? I just chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra and I'll go back to Godhead. It cannot be so easy. Okay. So therefore the example is given of a swimming, which we have discussed, you know, in earlier class as well. So devotional life is like a swimming class. In swimming class, even if you have to swim a 100-meter pool, a small pool, you know, in this Melbourne Aquatic Centre, what you have to do? You have to take your hand this way, you have to take your hand this way, you have to put your leg this way and you have to pump your leg this way, right? That is the first stage of swimming. And then gradually the child becomes an expert. He goes through whatever that, what are the stages of swimming? Here they call it some jellyfish, some shark and whatever. There are some stages, because my son goes for swimming and he comes and tells me, Daddy, I have become a shark for swimming. So therefore there are various stages of this swimming. But the process has always been the same. The process has always been to kick your hands and legs. It's not that if you have to cross the Suez Canal, then halfway down the line you have to dance in the swimming. The process is the same. The hand strokes are the same. Whether you have to cross 100 meters also, or whether you have to cross the Suez Canal. The process of devotional life is the same. So we need not get bewildered that by simply following this chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, will we cross the distance between the material world and the spiritual world? No worries. It is the same process. So we don't have to do anything extraordinary beyond this. Now, if we do this, our desires will be always in check. Our material desires will always be in check with this simple process. Otherwise, this desire is a double-edged sword, this desire. They can take you towards Krishna or they can take you away from Krishna. Just like the example is given that water, if it is in the liquid state, then the ship can float. But if water becomes a solid state, then Titanic movie happens. Similarly, the same material desire that causes enjoyment can also cause us suffering. And an example I heard interestingly recently, that if you take the example of hair and nail, okay, now most of the men are very attracted to the hair and the nails of a woman, right? And that's why women are also very intelligent. They also know what is that blonde hair or whatever, coloring hair, artificial dye. They also put, and men also put artificial dye. That's a different thing. Okay. So the whole industry is operating, cosmetic industry is operating on this. So if you see in Bollywood also there are a lot of Hindi songs about the hair of the woman. You know, they say tumhara zulf aisa hai and all that. There are so many songs which we have heard since childhood, and we have learned to adore the hair of the opposite sex by that. That conditioning has come in the heart. But now the same hair which we have adored since time immemorial, if you find in the morning dal, then will you say there is zulf and all that? My God, where this hair has come from? So, these material desires are like that. They will attract you, but at some time they will just disgust you. So then, that is the second stage of doubt. Now, Srila Prabhupada one day was doing his morning walk. And in the morning walk, Srila Prabhupada saw that there was yellow grass somewhere, and then there was green grass on the other side. And immediately he stopped, Srila Prabhupada stopped and asked his disciple, what do you see in front? So disciple said, Prabhupada, we see yellow grass and then we see green grass. So he asked, what is the difference? So one intelligent devotee said, Prabhupada, the one grass is yellow and the other is green. Srila Prabhupada said, no, that is not the difference. You have to see through the eyes of the scripture. Srila Prabhupada had what is called a Shastra Chakshu, the ability to see even material situations through the eyes of the scriptures. So Srila Prabhupada said the difference between the yellow grass and the green grass is the green grass is still connected to the root, whereas the yellow grass is stopped getting nourishment from the root. So therefore, if we have to maintain our material desire, our spiritual desire, this is called a condition. If we have to maintain our spiritual desire, then we have to always seek nourishment from Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we will forever remain in the stage of doubt, which is the third stage. Right? And not only that, not only should we try our own endeavor to get out of this doubt by reading the scriptures, but it is also important to seek advice from devotees. Because the instructions of a Vaishnava in removing our doubt can never be underestimated. And the instructions of a Vaishnava in solving the dilemmas of our life can also never be overestimated. It is very potent. So therefore, real-life example from, again, Srila Prabhupada's lifetime. So one of the devotees in the US, in the earlier days, people were drafted for the Vietnam War by the US board. So one of the devotees, he was not interested in going to Vietnam and fighting the battle. Anyway, all the battles in the material world are anyway useless waste of time for some piece of land which nobody owns at the end of the day. So therefore, this devotee had already come in Krishna consciousness and he had developed an intense desire to serve Srila Prabhupada. However, the government one day came and put a notice on his face saying that you have to go to Vietnam now. You have been drafted for the Vietnam War. So this devotee was completely bewildered because he had lot of dreams, I'll study Srimad Bhagavatam, I'll perfect my life, now I have to go to Vietnam War, and God knows what they'll serve me there. Obviously, what do they serve to the army? They'll be serving some goat meat or something like that to eat, right? So devotee, was completely, bewildered. And then he decided that, okay, I'll put my problem to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, I'll go to Srila Prabhupada and tell him, this is the problem, what do? Because I have to go, there is no choice. So he went and told Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, okay, draft board, okay, what is the draft board? He said, no, I have to go to Vietnam. Said, do you want to go? He said, oh, no, Prabhupada, obviously, I don't want to go. What do you want to do then? Prabhupada, I want to remain at your lotus feet and serve you always. And I want to here attend Bhagavatam class daily morning. So Srila Prabhupada saw that, okay. Srila Prabhupada said, okay, if you really have that desire, I'll give you a letter. And Srila Prabhupada drafted a letter saying that this person is actually, you know, belonging to our Krishna consciousness movement and his goal of life is to attain self-realization, something like that. Srila Prabhupada drafted such a letter. And then he told him, now you go back and give it to that fellow, you know, who gave you this letter from the government. So he saw this letter, he said, Prabhupada, what is this letter? How can I show this letter to him? Srimad Bhagavatam, going back to spiritual world, the purpose of life. So he just couldn't understand. But Srila Prabhupada said, if you really want, go and give this letter to him. The devotee went and put it in the hands of that fellow. And the fellow read it, you know, his eyes opened up first. He's saying, what is this? No, I never heard anything like this. I want to do Srimad Bhagavatam reading in the morning, set up at 4 o'clock, whatever. He just couldn't understand. But then suddenly something happened in his heart and he suddenly said, okay, fine. If you want to do this, fine, I'll sign. And then he signed and gave it. And the devotee even today cannot understand why that fellow signed. So this is the potency of a pure Vaishnava. Something which we think is impossible becomes possible. And obviously, this is one problem which we can, you know, extrapolate in our life now. In our life, many times we are at this threshold in an impossible situation. We just don't know what to do. So the best thing is to consult spiritual master. And the instructions of the spiritual master are always potent. The spiritual master, it is said, will never give you an instruction which you cannot execute. Spiritual master will never give an instruction which you cannot execute. And when he gives such an instruction, we think that we cannot execute it, but Krishna's potency is there along with that. So therefore, there is always success. So from the stage of doubt, therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encouraged the Kurma Brahman. When he said that I am frustrated with material life, he said, don't leave home. Stay at home and chant Hare Krishna. Now once we stay at home, which means not literally stay at home, when we live a simple life and we come to the temple and we attend at the morning program, etc., and we go for many years, we migrate from the stage of desire to the stage of discrimination. That is the fourth stage. Right? So we have talked about disaster, we have talked about doubt, we have talked about desire, and now we are talking about discrimination, the fourth stage. So we have so many spiritual desires. Now the question comes in our mind, there are so many spiritual desires, there are so many services to be done. Which service, what desire must I now cultivate and nourish? That's the next question. Right? Should I do deity worship? Should I do preaching? Should I do kitchen cooking? What should I do? So it is mentioned that in Srimad Bhagavatam there is an interesting verse which says, Tat Sraddhadana Munayo Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya Pashyanti Atmani Chatmanam Bhakta Shruta Gruhitaya. This is very early in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It comes somewhere in the first canto, I think second chapter it comes, when Sukadeva Goswami and the sages are sitting. So it is mentioned here that a devotee has to be very inquisitive and thoughtful. To come to the platform of correct discrimination, we must have inquisitiveness and thoughtfulness, and we must have introspection. Means we must think and plan, what do we want to do with our lives? We have to do that. So Maharaj Parikshit asked Sukadeva Goswami in the first canto that I have two questions. One is, what is my duty at every stage in life? For example, being a grihastha, you know, in this journey of being a grihastha, I understand that at every life cycle of our stage in grihastha, between 20 to 25, 25 to 30, 30 to 35, 35 to 40, 40 to 50, 50 to 60, our needs and our concerns in life are different. They always change. When I was 30, I was never concerned about my son's education, what will happen to him. But now, at this stage, I am concerned because my son is already in whatever grade. Now I am wondering, okay, if I go back to India, then what will happen? Which school will he go to? If he goes to some karmi school, what will happen? Because so much of pornography is going on in the karmi schools. What if my son gets entangled in that? What do I do? So now there is a new problem in my life. Now I am not thinking about myself, but I am thinking about my son. So the whole focus of the problem shifts during the life cycle. Okay, and the same thing I am sure will be happening in the life of brahmacharis as well. Because I have not been a brahmachari, I am not trained, so I cannot comment. But basically this is the journey. And then, you know, we can ask Mahatma Prabhu there. In the stage at which you are in your life, your concerns will be vastly different than what my concern will be right now. Because your children are very well settled, but still there will be some concern which you have at your stage. So, Krishna consciousness offers a complete solution from womb to tomb. So, Sukadeva Goswami asks two questions. What is my duty at every stage of life and what is my duty at the time of death? Two questions. And the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is an answer to these two questions. Now, at the beginning of Ajamil's pastime, Sukadeva Goswami explains that dry speculation cannot help us understand the conclusions of the scriptures, nor can mundane austerity help us understand. So, speculation and austerity we will never understand. So therefore, the only solution is offered there that we have to find the Mahatma who has surrendered his heart and soul to Krishna, and then one gets the intelligence and discrimination to perform what is real dharma, and one gets the discrimination to understand the process, and it does not happen automatically. Therefore, just as desire is developed by association, doubt is developed by experience, and disaster is developed by destiny. Similarly, discrimination is aroused by service to the great soul. Right? So, there is one interesting example here about discrimination. How to develop? What situation we have to consult spiritual master? This happened in the life in the Mahabharata. So, Arjun had taken a vow. I don't know how many of you know this, but I heard it for the first time when I heard it. Arjun had taken a vow that anyone who blasphemes the Gandiva bow, he will kill that person. Anyone who blasphemes this Gandiva bow, he will kill that person. Now what happened was, one day Maharaj Yudhishthira was left in the battle alone. Now Maharaj Yudhishthira was not known for his battle skills. He was known for his truthfulness, honesty, leadership skills and all that. So he was left alone, and in front of him was Karna. Very powerful in battle, Karna. Karna was actually more powerful than Arjun in that sense. It is purely seen in a material sense. So, and Arjun was nowhere to be seen. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhishthira was very angry at him at the end of the day when they met. And he said, "Where the hell are you?" Obviously, he didn't say his language. Kahan gaya? And Maharaj Yudhishthira was very upset. And then, in his being upset, he told Arjuna, "You and your Gandiva bow are useless." And then Arjuna said, "What? He told about my Gandiva bow. And then I have taken a vow that whoever blasphemes my Gandiva bow, I will kill that person." So he said, "Now I have to kill Maharaj Yudhishthira." Now what happened? So then he was very confused and he couldn't sleep. He said, "But how can I kill Maharaj Yudhishthira?" There was a confusion. And I have taken a vow. So he went to Lord Krishna, who was his spiritual master, in this confusion. And Lord said, "What is this vow? Who did you consult before taking such a vow?" He said, "No, I am not consulted anymore." So Lord Krishna told him, "What is the use of such vows which are not sanctioned by great souls?" So unless we serve great souls, even in the matter of dharma, we cannot get intelligence to discriminate. So, it is mentioned that in terms of what is dharma and what is not dharma, one more example. It is mentioned in the shastras that if the result of something, if the cause of something is good, the cause is good, you do something with thinking that you are doing something right as per the dharma, but the result of that is very bad for everyone, then it is useless, and vice versa, right? If the result is good, then everything is good. So the example is given that there was a sage called Satyavan, and he was sitting and meditating somewhere. And Satyavan, his name because he was always telling the Satya, the truth. So one day some decoys were chasing some pilgrims, and the pilgrims first ran from in front of Satyavan, and they hid somewhere. And behind the decoys came, and then they asked, "Where are the pilgrims?" So because he was conditioned to always telling the truth, immediately the pilgrims are hiding there, by the way. So the decoys went there and they killed the pilgrims, and Satyavan went to hell because of that. He didn't get the heavenly planet. Because what is the use of that dharma which we don't use our discrimination and intelligence to apply? So to comprehend dharma, we need the guidance of a spiritual master. Otherwise we may even speculate based on our own mode of goodness. Mode of goodness is not enough to understand dharma. To understand dharma, we have to go beyond the mode of goodness. And that will happen only with the instruction of spiritual master. So the whole purpose must be defined under the influence of someone, and who knows the ultimate conclusion and its effects. So Arjuna now continued telling Lord Krishna, "Okay, now you tell me what to do. Because I have now taken a vow that I have to kill Maharaj Yudhishthira. Now you tell me only what to do." So Lord Krishna told him something very interesting.
Lord Krishna is always very expert in giving workarounds for situations. So he said, for Vaishnava, blasphemy is as severe as killing him. So you blaspheme Maharaj Rishna. Blaspheme to your heart content. And he gave him this instruction as spiritual master. So Arjuna started blaspheming Maharaj Rishna. You know, what is this? Look at me. And he was, you know, trying to do it because Krishna instructed him to do so. He said, this whole battle of Kurukshetra is won only because of an archer like me. All you people are useless. And what kind of leader are you? He was telling Maharaj Yudhishthira. And he went on and on blaspheming Maharaj Yudhishthira. And after some time he himself couldn't bear it. So he started crying. Arjuna started crying. He said, Krishna, I cannot go on. So what should I do? And then he decided that, okay, now I have blasphemed Maharaj Yudhishthira. Now I, you know, because I have blasphemed a Vaishnava, I will kill myself because that is also given in the Shastras. So therefore, Lord Krishna said, now again he went to Lord Krishna, what do I do? He was about to kill himself. So Lord Krishna said, okay, the Shastra which is mentioned that if one has to kill oneself, then one must glorify oneself. So glorifying oneself is as good as killing oneself. So Lord Krishna said, you glorify yourself. So Arjuna started glorifying himself, saying that, you know, so I don't need all these brothers who are so very powerful. I can manage the battle of Kurukshetra with my own hands. Look at me, you know, I have got chariot from so and so person, I have got bow from so and so person, I have got kavach from so and so person. He started glorifying him. But after some time he stopped because he just couldn't go further. And then Krishna just mind. So this is an example
of how we consult the spiritual master.
So he'll give a stage by stage solution to our problem. So unless we take guidance, even within the realm of dharma, then still we cannot cross this ocean of confusion. Like for example, if a pilot is flying in the air, now when a child looks at a pilot, the pilot is having headphones. So child will think that the pilot is hearing some iPod, some music or something. But actually the pilot is not hearing an iPod. What he is doing, he is always in touch with the ground level, where from where the instructions are coming. So one day if the pilot says, you know what, I am going to just fly this flight on my own. Enough now. Enough of instructions. 20 years I have been taking instructions. What should I do? Now I am going to just use my discretion. Enough of all these instructions. I know what to do now. Please board the flight, all of you. Will you board the flight? I don't need these headphones. Nobody will board the flight, right? So therefore it is mentioned that, you know, over a period of, you know, time in spiritual life, we think that we don't need instructions anymore because we are advanced devotees, we are experienced in Krishna consciousness. So our life will start going down. From that point onward, disaster will start. So, it is mentioned that someone asked Srila Prabhupada that there have been so many demons in Kali Yuga today. Right? Why Krishna is not taking so many avatars? Because the population is already so degraded. So Srila Prabhupada explained to him that today Krishna does not need to take an avatar because he took an avatar earlier because he wanted to kill the demons. He says today Kali Yuga people are already dead. Look at them walking on the streets. They are already dead. And so there is no need to kill them. And Srila Prabhupada said in the earlier yugas, the demons in the previous yugas were very strong. They never had problems like blood pressure or diabetes. You never find Samsa is suffering from hypertension or arthritic pain or whatever. Neither you will find the Ravana's seventh head was having a headache or something. So, but in Kali Yuga, it is mentioned that Prayana Alpa Aishya, Kalavasmi Yuga Janaha, Manda Sumanda Mataya, Manda Bhagyahi Upadrutha. In Kali Yuga, the very nature of people is that people have become like zombies. Right, being in front of the laptop for 18 hours a day. So ISKCON is a hospital for such zombies in Kali Yuga who can come here and seek spiritual guidance. So the pastime is of King Rasaprasadra, who mentioned that Lord Prasaprasadra mentioned, despite being the king, he was always very eager to take the guidance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then since he could not directly approach the Lord, he took Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the Siksha Guru, and then he used to consult him. Because of consulting Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he came to the point of being very dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, once somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, you talk about the 12 Mahajans. And then they told Srila Prabhupada, you are the 13th Mahajan. They told Srila Prabhupada, you are the 13th Mahajan. Because Prabhupada has just given a class on 12 Mahajans.
So Srila Prabhupada turned around and told the devotee, and you are the 14th Mahajan. And Srila Prabhupada told him that don't just, you know, pay obeisances to me saying that glorify me saying you are Mahajan, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction is that all of us have to become Mahajans. That's when the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be spread. So all of us have to be, you know, all of us have to become Mahajans and come to the point of discrimination in our lives. So someone asked Srila Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, I always fear that I may fall down. And Srila Prabhupada said, do not fear, because you are already a fallen person, and a fallen person cannot fall down. And one fear which a fallen person should never have in his life. And Srila Prabhupada told him, instead of giving lip service, saying that I am fallen servant, you know, I am very fallen and whatever, you seek serious guidance and act upon it. And then this brings us to the fifth stage of dedication. I'll finish in another 5-7 minutes. So dedication comes when we offer our heart in love to Guru and Vaishnavas. So it is mentioned that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan, people offered him a servant. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I don't want any servant. But still, Swarup Damodar Maharaj, Swarup Damodar Goswami recommended to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you must take Balabhadra Bhattacharya as your servant, because he has great love for you, he has got intelligence, he has got good character, and he is spiritually advanced. Four characteristics he said. First is the principle of love. He said that he loves you, therefore you can take him as your personal servant. Because it is mentioned in various lectures that the principle of love, when we have love, when there is love amongst devotees, then the shiksha between the senior devotee and the junior devotee flows very easily. Because when there is love, then the tendency to ask the question, why should I do it, is not there. We simply take the instruction from senior devotee and do it. Because we love that person and we have affection for that person. So therefore, there is no feeling of dedication without this love and affection. But intelligence is also needed, it is mentioned. Therefore, that is why he mentioned that he has love for you, he has intelligence, and he has good character, and he is spiritually advanced also. Now, it is seen that when we try to develop this dedication, our false ego blocks this dedication from time to time. For example, Srila Prabhupada was preaching in New York, and someone from the crowd was just, you know, becoming unruly and started shouting. You know, he asked Srila Prabhupada, do you see God? Do you see God? He asked Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, I see God, but right now you are in my way. Because Srila Prabhupada couldn't take question of the lady. So, now when we behave like this with senior devotees, with saintly personalities, then we are not taking advantage of the flow of love and affection that is flowing from their hearts because of our false ego. So, it is mentioned that there was a person in Africa, there was a man in Africa, he got married. And after marriage, he had daughters. Now, he had a great desire to have a son. So, he married again. And again, he had daughters. So, he married again. And again, he had daughters. So, he married again. And again, he had daughters. Like this, he married 12 times. 12 wives. And out of the 12 wives, he had 63 daughters. Because he was a village chief in Africa. Apparently, you know, village chiefs have some, you know, leeway. So he was a village chief, it was agreed, okay, you go on marrying. So 63 daughters, and finally he gave one last attempt, you know. The 64th attempt, he finally got a son. The son grew up to be 18 years old, came in contact with Hare Krishna and moved into the temple. So somebody asked, this devotee, his name is Tribhuvan Maskuru. If anyone of you know, he is somewhere in Africa apparently. So, somebody asked him, what is it that brought you to this movement? So, he said that Srila Prabhupada's purity brought me into this movement. So, Srila Prabhupada always says, purity is the force. So, what Srila Prabhupada often used to quote, that the world is in a mess. However, this world will one day thank the Hare Krishna movement for saving it at the time of the greatest need. Srila Prabhupada said that. So one day one devotee was talking to another person, he was trying to cultivate some other person, and this person was going on blaspheming Srila Prabhupada. Continuously he was blaspheming Srila Prabhupada. So this devotee at some point in time got very upset with him, and then the devotee started shouting at him, and this devotee was actually very huge. He started shouting at him,
"Why are you blaspheming Srila Prabhupada?"
And this fellow, instead of you know understanding the point what this devotee was saying, he again immediately started catching him. He said, "This is what your Srila Prabhupada has taught you, talking to people like this." This is how he attacked back. So this devotee said that before I became a devotee, I was part of not a very good group, something like an underworld or something. So if I would have been really myself, then I would have cut your throat by now. Because of Srila Prabhupada, I have come a long way from that, and I am patiently trying to tell you what is going on. So he then later on mentioned to the devotees that by simply associating gradually with the devotee, gradually becomes pure, and he was telling his own life story by this. So it is mentioned that Maya is like a bowler and the Jiva is like a batsman. For all the cricket fans, Maya is like a bowler, Jiva is a batsman, because they are talking about Atma and Paramatma. So this Paramatma is like a coach cum umpire. The Paramatma does two jobs. One is it tells you what to do right and what to do wrong, and then when you go wrong it raises the finger and then tells you. It is a witness to everything. In that sense, the umpire is neutral. The umpire is only witnessing. That's all. Umpire is not telling the batsman how to play and what to do. Right? Neither is telling the bowler how to bowl. So it's like an umpire. So this brings us to the stage of discipline. From dedication, we have to come to the point of discipline. So here, to be very brief, Srila Prabhupada used to mention that hygiene in the material world is not an option. Hygiene is a necessity. For example, brushing our teeth in the morning is not an option. It is a necessity to become clean. So therefore, it is mentioned that, you know, it is not enough to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra once or 16 rounds once in a day, or come to the temple once in a week just to, you know, feel holy. We have to constantly keep coming to the association of devotees. Otherwise, our mental hygiene, our transcendental hygiene will never be consistent. It will have its own ups and downs. And it is mentioned that despite all these instructions, why do we still fall down? It is because we tend to rationalize with the instructions which senior devotees give us, which the Paramatma gives us. Sometimes the Paramatma tells us, do this, but still we kill the voice of our inner consciousness for sense gratification, and we tend to rationalize. So once it was mentioned that rationalization, by its very definition, is use of intellect in the service of the false ego. That is called as rationalization. Our intelligence we use in serving our false ego. That term is called as rationalization. There is an example which is given of Garuda. When Garuda is Mahavishnu's carrier, all of you know. So one day Mahavishnu wanted to come and meet Lord Shiva. Okay, so Lord Mahavishnu is coming on Garuda. So when Garuda came there, they saw Lord Shiva sitting, and on his neck was a
snake.
Okay. So when the snake saw the Garuda, the snake started like that. It started hissing. Okay. And Garuda was really thinking, oh, this guy is really having the audacity. He doesn't know who he is hissing at. He is the carrier of Mahavishnu, and then this snake is hissing at me as if I am an ordinary bird.
Doesn't know who I am. Okay. So what happens is, Srila Prabhupada said that because of close association with the Lord, which Lord now I am talking about? With Lord Shiva. Because of close association with Lord Shiva,
and because of proximity to Lord Shiva, the snake started thinking that it is a great personality, and therefore it could not understand the higher personality, who is the carrier of Mahavishnu.
So similarly, it is mentioned that we may be giving, we may develop, we may become a very big devotee, very great devotee, we may be giving big talks, erudite lectures, whatever, and so on and so forth, but actually at the end of the day, we are nothing but envious snakes. Okay?
But it is mentioned that even then, as long as we are following the process, we are like the snake which is wrapped around the right place, around the neck of Lord Shiva.
So that will save us from this stage, and that will
take us from the stage of discipline to the stage of determination.
So determination is required in the wake of ups and downs. Once His Holiness Kavichandra Maharaj, he gave this example that when the prisoner is inside the jail,
when he is very loyally obeying the instructions of the jailer, will any jailer trouble him? Will other prisoners trouble him? No. When will the prison become a troublesome place for you? When you try to jump that wall and escape from that prison. So similarly, Maya is also like that. As long as we are very comfortable within Maya, we are just going around instructions of Maya, enjoying our sense gratification, then Maya will not trouble us too much. But the moment we try to escape this Maya, Maya knows exactly how to do her job, and therefore troubles will come in our life. So it is in this wake of the troubles which is given by Maya that we have to learn how to manage our ups and downs. So in the example of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, he said that if I do not get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, what will I do with my kingdom? In the earlier example which we talked about, what will I do with all this kingdom? And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard this humility of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, he was not an ordinary person, he was a king. So he said, don't worry, because of your humility and your eagerness and your determination to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will definitely get that mercy. And later on we see in the pastime that Lord Chaitanya gave all his mercy to Maharaj Pratap Rudra only because of his patience and determination. So through this patience and determination, we then cross over to the last stage, which is called as destination. Then the destination is the spiritual world. The process is very simple. Only thing, day after day, we have to follow this simple process. Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is simple, but not easy. The process is very simple, but still we complicate it, therefore we land up in trouble. So today we try to share something with all of you about the journey from illusion to enlightenment, starting with disaster, going on to doubt, going on to desire, then to discrimination, then to dedication, then to discipline, to determination, and finally destination. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. 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 Hare Krishna.